going to ask you to turn to 1 John, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. While you're turning there, it's certainly good to have all the visitors along with Teen Challenge. So glad to have them in the service this morning. 1 John 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Last night we spoke on the subject, shall we continue in sin? Prove by the Bible. I know we put a lot of shortening in it, but we prove by the Bible that a person can be saved from sin. That as Christians, we don't have to sin. And even in our text, he said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Did you know God didn't ask us to do anything that's impossible? If it's impossible for us to sin, amen, and then my friend, we would have been told in the word of God. So he said, if any man sin, notice not when you sin, as if it's going to be an everyday occurrence. Who is he writing to? Three different groups of people. I'd like for you to notice he starts out in 1 John 2, 1, my little children. In verse number 12, little children. Verse number 13, I write unto you little children. Verse 18, little children. It is the last time. In verse 28, and now little children. In 1 John 3, 7, little children, let no man deceive you. In 1 John 3, 18, my little children. In 1 John 4, 4, you are of God, little children. 1 John 5, 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. But not only did he talk to little children in this passage of scripture, he talked to young men. In 1 John 2:13, he said, I write unto you young men. In verse number 14, he said, I have written unto you young men. And then he goes on to another group of people. In 1 John 2:13, I write unto you fathers. Verse 14, I have written unto you fathers. Now certainly 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2 is for little children. It's for young men. It's for fathers. It's for anyone that fails God in any way. But notice he addressed this passage of scripture to little children. People that has not been saved that long. Amen. He didn't say, I write unto you young men. I write unto your fathers. Because the longer we're saved, the more we learn about the devil's devices. The more we're more mature in the Lord. The Bible refers to children as being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But as we mature and grow in the Lord, amen, we learn those devices of the devil and by his help stay away from that. So the goal is to walk in the light so we can have unbroken fellowship with God. That's what every Christian wants, unbroken fellowship. John wants his readers to realize that because they have the ability to confess sin, doesn't mean they have a license to sin. Because we have an advocate with the Father, we should never take that attitude, and I don't think no child of God would. Well, if I do sin, I'll just ask God to forgive me. Friend, that is not the attitude of a true child of God. His purpose in writing to them is that they won't sin. God does not want you to sin. And he gives us the power so we don't have to sin. Now, Christians, as we found out last night, are no longer slaves to sin. Amen. If a person sins after conversion, it's because they choose to do so. What John wants to remind the believer is that we have spiritual means whereby we can have victory. That's what the Christian life's all about. God giving you the victory. We must understand that sin is what brought the necessity of propitiation to reality. Without sin, there would have been no need for propitiation. It is the sins of humanity that caused the chasm between God and his creation. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 and verse number 2, he cried out, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." That's good news to every sinner. If you're a backslider, if you're a sinner, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Last night, the brother testified how the Lord reached way down and picked him up. Amen. I'm glad his hand is not shortened that he can't reach way down and pick us up. No matter how deep you are in sin, how far you've gone, the Lord's got a long hand. He can reach way down below the bottom and bring you out of a life of sin. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sins, not your daddy's sins, not Adam's sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. How tragic it would be to live without a real advocate. Every one of us needs an intercessor. And we have that in Jesus Christ. John was writing to the church. He wasn't encouraging us to sin, but in order to keep us from sinning, we must always remember, even though forgiveness is available, and that's what we're going to try to bring out by the help of God, whether you're a sinner, a backslider, never been saved, forgiveness is available to every individual. If God's speaking to you, dealing with you, forgiveness is available. And sins can be forgiven. There's always consequences to sin. However, it is our job to be on guard. Watch our thoughts, watch our actions. In the life of a Christian, there can never be any incentive or enticement to think lightly about sin. The ministry of Christ allows us to take sin seriously. Every individual needs to take sin seriously, but at the same time, every individual needs to know, if you ever fall into the devil's trap, if you ever come short of the glory of God, you don't have to despair. You don't have to give up, because God is willing to forgive. We must never take Christ's advocacy or intercession for granted. Nevertheless, he could not leave it at that. He had written here in John so much about love and the love for the brethren, his relation with them, especially close and tender affection. So he goes on to say, now if any man sins, we have an advocate. Don't sin, but if you do, thank God we have an advocate. Remember that God does not wash his hands of us because we make a mistake. You converts, new converts, that has given your heart and life to the Lord, if sometime in your journey you fail God, you come short of the glory of God, God's not going to throw you out. Amen. He's there to pick you up. If you fall down, don't stay down. Get back up. All of us when we were little children, we fell many times. And I'm glad none of us, because we fell and bumped our head, we just laid around the rest of our life. Well, I can't never walk because I'll fall. No, we kept getting back up till we learned how to do it pretty well. Amen. Then you get older and you start falling again. But God is, we have an advocate, someone who speaks up for us in a favorable way, one who defends us before others. I once read about a big burly man who called at the house of a woman that was known for her charitable impulses. And when she came to the door, he addressed her in a broken voice. "Madam, I wish to draw your attention to the terrible plight of a poor family in this district. The father has been fired. The mother is too ill to work, and the 9 children are starving. They're about to be turned out into the cold streets unless someone pays their rent." And the woman exclaimed, "How terrible. May I ask who you are?" The sympathetic pleader applied his handkerchief to his eyes and said, "I'm the landlord." Here's a case where the advocate obviously had only one client, and it was himself. Amen. Jesus Christ is our advocate, not on his benefit, but for our benefit. He's pleading, amen. In this case, this man who was a landlord, his pleading was not for the people's need, but for his greed. But we have, dear ones, in Jesus, an advocate who is literally ours. And in that purpose, in the court of heaven, he's not there for his own defense, but he's there for my pardon. He's there for your pardon. The song says, "Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know, took my place at Calvary. Now I don't have to go." Among the wonderful things that Jesus Christ is to all men, and I could spend months talking about the wonderful things that Jesus is to us. John says he is our advocate with the Father, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins. This word means one that goes along a side to help. An advocate simply means someone who will present someone else's case. Hallelujah. Sinner, you got someone who will present your case. Saints of God, we have someone to present our case. The Holy Spirit is called the counselor. The Holy Spirit is called the advocate. He is the prosecuting attorney, and the unsaved are the guilty prisoners. But he prosecutes not to condemn, but to bring salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ stands by the side of every child of God to intercede. But that advocacy involves more than one would think normally in terms of lawyers and attorneys and courtrooms. As your advocate, Jesus understands all about us. He knows what it is to live in a fleshly body. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to deal with the flesh. And because he knows, he can be and he is sympathetic towards our weaknesses, and he's capable of fully understanding us. Nobody can understand you like Jesus can understand you. A true advocate is a friend who exerts influence over another. In a court of law, an advocate pleads the case of an accused. More precious words. Saints, I don't think there's more precious words spoken than the ones written here by John. "My little children, I say unto you that you sin not. But if you do fall into sin, if you do fail God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a propitiation for our sins. Amen. How can we fully utilize Christ's ministry of advocacy? As a Christian, what are we supposed to do? If we fail God, ask God to forgive you. What do you do when the enemy of your soul convinces you that you're a worthless person and that God is finished with you due to the fact that you failed God? And that's what happens when an individual fails God. The devil is an accuser of the brethren, and he begins to attack that child of God and says, you might as well quit. God don't care about you. God's angry with you, so you might as well throw in the towel. But no, dear ones, God still loves us, even when we fail. And he don't want us to quit. Amen. If we sin, God's provided a way to reconcile that fellowship. And it's through Jesus Christ, who is a propitiation for our sins. If sin ever happens to overtake you, yes, Jesus is our advocate. In the Greek, this word advocate means one who defends or comes alongside to give aid. Now, this word is used 5 times in the New Testament, and each time it's used by the Apostle John. Amen. It's in the Gospels and also here in 1 John. In other words, in St. John 14. That's St. John 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And in John 16 and verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. We have an advocate. We have the comforter. And the Bible lets us know in Romans the 8th chapter, verse number 6. That's Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh what? Intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Thank God we have an advocate, an intercessor. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. That's good news. Jesus Christ, our propitiation. Amen. This means that when Jesus died for us, he set us free from the guilt and condemnation that our sins brought upon us, and restored us to a right relationship with God. No sinner, no backslider has a right relationship with God. But God saves us, and we've got a right relationship with God. In other words, he won God's favor toward us. Though propitiation means to win favor of someone by doing something that pleases him. In this case, it was Christ that won the Father's favor by going to the cross and giving his last drop of blood, coming up out of the grave, so we could be saved by the grace of God. The reason that this is an important term for us is because without Jesus being the propitiation for our sins, we could never be right with God. The propitiation means he made a sacrifice in our place. And the sacrifice that he made pleased God. So if we sin, we have the word of God. And God's word has given for us to follow and remain in the word of God. However, it has to be more than just information to us. We have to take the information from God's word and turn it into application. If we ever want to experience transformation, this is the first aspect of overcoming sin. It's by clinging to the word of God. Somebody said, I want to be saved, Brother Larry. I want real victory in my life. Well, you can have it. And I like what the psalmist said in chapter 119 and verse number 9. He asked a question, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to do it? How can a young man cleanse his way? Bible says, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Jesus is our advocate. And when we think of that word advocate, we're naturally given a picture of a lawyer who advocates for the defendant. The dictionary defines this word as a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or pleads on someone else's behalf. Let me tell you something, friend. If you fail God, Jesus is an advocate. Amen. He can go to the Father. Listen, that blood I shed on Calvary, it was for him. Amen. If you're lost without God, you can be saved because Jesus Christ shed his blood that you could have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. That's what it means in the Bible. He's a propitiation for our sins. I'm talking about you individually. He's a propitiation for your sins personally. Let's look at this in a personal way. When the Bible said he tasted death for every man, put your name right there. That's you. He had you in mind when he went to the cross. Amen. And his sin, his blood washes away every sin. He cleanses you. He puts all your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. An advocate is only effective when their client trusts him with the truth. It does not make sense to go into the court giving half-truths to your lawyer. When we're willing to cast all our sins and our problems and reservations on the Lord, can he properly defend us? An advocate is only effective when the client is willing to face the proper penalties for one's crime. Sin breaks God's heart. If you're living in sin, don't let the devil tell you, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. No, you are breaking God's heart. God didn't create you to live that way. Somebody said, how do you know that's true? Because when the prodigal son came home, what did he say? I've sinned against heaven and against thee. His sin wasn't just against himself. He sinned against his family. He sinned against God. Sin breaks the heart of God. That's why he admonishes us, don't sin. Someone likens sin to a cut or a break in electric wire feeding the light bulb. There's an electric wire going to the panel back here somewhere. If that wire is severed, if that wire is broken, these lights aren't gonna work. Amen, there must be a perfect connection from the source of power all the way to these light bulbs before there can be any light. In the same way, sin breaks our connection with God. That's why you're in the condition that you're in. Sin breaks our connection with God. Forgiveness is like a splice in a wire. It don't take a brand new wire to complete the circuit, but it must be a wire in which every single break has been repaired. Amen. And God can do that in your life. Amen. If fellowship has been broken, if sin has caused a disconnection, thank God that can all be fixed up right here this morning so you can have fellowship with God. An advocate does not plead our innocence, nor does he deny the charges brought against us. Amen. Instead, an advocate pleads for mercy. And that's what you need this morning. Amen. Whether you are a Christian and have failed God in an area of your life, or whether you're an out and out sinner, a backslider, you know what you need is mercy. And God's got a lot of mercy. He'll show you mercy. When we're fully aware of how much we're in need of God's mercy, forgiveness, and grace, amen, we will appreciate the greatness of our advocate, Jesus Christ. An advocate possesses knowledge that the client will never have. When a friend stands as an intercessor to mediate a conflict, they're able to see the truth with greater truth and clarity. Amen. An advocate is not apt to have their perspective clouded by subjective emotions. An advocate knows all about the circumstances of the client. Nobody knows more about you than God does. And when Christ intercedes for us, he's aware of our weaknesses. He's aware of our inadequacies. He's aware of our frailties. And Jesus brings all the facts to the table. An advocate knows many cases where clients refuse to admit their sinful condition and suffered the eternal consequences. Wouldn't it be awful to leave this world unprepared to meet God when you can come to Jesus and have all those sins forgiven? Jesus, the heavenly advocate, is aware of the millions who have failed to realize the benefits of his service. And that's what we're here tonight, to tell you about the benefits of his service. Consequently, he's more eager to get his clients free because of the disastrous consequences of those who failed to rely on his service. Now, I'm going to prophesy right now. I'm going to tell you something. What I'm telling you is as true as I'm standing here before you. If you don't get saved, I can promise you, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. If you don't get saved, you'll remember these words someday. Because the devil, he don't care about you. He's going to take you down a road that leads to sorrow and misery. I promise you that. That's what the devil does. Amen. An advocate possesses great compassion for his client. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He spares nothing for the escape of the flames of hell. God didn't want you to go to hell. That's why he gave his son. That's why the son gave his life. With such intimate knowledge of his client, the advocate is in a unique position to counsel each willing heart and consider all their alternative choices. An advocate is able to bring to bear the benefits learn from millions of case studies. Jesus knows everything about us. Amen. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. Amen. Nothing surprises him. An advocate presents our case in words and emotion that are beyond human understanding. Jesus represents us with supernatural grace, wisdom, love, and it makes eternal differences. And here's what I'm talking about. This message is for the saved and the lost. He said, and not for ours only. Amen. Not for ours only. That's talking about Christians. But also for the sins of the whole world. That don't leave anybody out. When you talk about the sins of the whole world, it covers every individual. It covers everyone here. He's a propitiation for your sins. This universal provision implies that everyone has need of it. What do you realize that you need this? Amen. John is saying that the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient to save every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. The price paid was potentially good enough to pardon the whole world. Every individual was included in the plan to be saved. But though the blood was shed for you, it'll never be applied to your heart until you repent and place faith in the Son of God. And so the sacrifice of Jesus is the remedy that's adequate for every individual. But it's limited in its application, not its sufficiency. An advocate is only able to work his wonders for those who truly repent and believe. Sadly, an advocate is not able to undertake the case of those people who are not willing to call on him for intercession. I heard Brother Decker say years ago, I'm so thankful for Brother Decker and his wife, something he said years ago that stuck with me. God is a gentleman. If God wasn't a gentleman, he'd just knock the door down, come on in. But God's not like that. It's your choice. He stands at the door and knocks. I want to help you. I want to save you. I want to save you from what the devil's going to do in the future. And the Bible said, I know the thoughts. God said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. God thinks about you. And you know what kind of thoughts God has? He said, they're pleasant thoughts. Not evil. But to give you an expected end. And the devil's plan for you is not like that. The devil, if you keep letting him have his way, he's going to drag you down to a devil's hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The results of the propitiation for our sins is complete. It includes both saint and sinner. We must not tonight, this morning, miss this truth about this propitiation. Amen. It's not something, my friend, you do to appease an angry God. It's something a loving God, full of mercy, full of grace, accepted as the one and only way he can bring men into the presence of God. An advocate like Jesus has never lost a single case. There have been some good lawyers in the world today. They lost some cases. But 100% of the time, when people come to Jesus, repenting, believing, he never loses a case. Amen. Amen. He can win the case for you. It's tragic when Christians let things go unconfessed in their life. suffer needless pain and guilt when every sin in the world can freely be pardoned through the ministry of Jesus Christ. We've learned this morning that as Christians, we're called to walk in the light. But because we're stuck in a body of flesh, there's a possibility you could fall. And when you do, look to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you got the burden of sin weighing you down. You have the burden of sin weighing you down. I believe there's those here, you look at Christians and there's something inside. I'd like to have what he has. I'd sure like to have what she has. She has something that I don't have. He has something that I don't have. I got good news. You can have it because Jesus is on your side. If anybody's here and you failed God some way, I want to tell you, don't despair. Amen. You have an advocate whose calling is to gain your pardon in the court of heaven. Hallelujah.